see everybody here this morning. There is a tradition that I started years ago when I first moved here. And that is, this time every year, I work up a sermon specifically for those that are graduating. This year, it's Dalton and Shandis' turn. And I'll probably recognize this sermon title because I've actually preached it twice before, but you got to understand, I've been here 16 years, and there's only so many sermons you can work up for graduates. So basically, I've got about five sermons that I keep preaching over and over again. So it's been about 6 years since I preached this one, but it is one of my favorites that I worked up for graduates. And it's called Roots and Wings. When we're talking about roots and wings, we're talking about the beginnings of our life, growing up as children, where we grow up in our home, in our family, in our community, in the congregation that we've been attending and being taught from. And that we develop roots over a period of time to places, to people, to family, to the body of Christ, to faith. But then there comes a point in time in our life when those who have been raising us understand they have been raising us for a purpose. And that is for us to have wings, to be able to go off on our own, possibly in a different place, definitely often with a completely new family, their family, but they are beginning as they get married and have their own family. And hopefully, with the faith that had been taught while they were here, holding on to their faith. So our lesson this morning is going to be a study of roots and wings. We're going to start in Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is one of the basic understandings of raising children. The way they are raised is going to affect them greatly when they are older, when they leave home, they're no longer under the oversight of their parents, when they're out there on their own. How they were raised, where they were raised, is going to affect them greatly when they become adults. In many different ways. I am a fusion of my mother and father's personality. If you look at my life, my personality, my likes, my dislikes, my hobbies, I am literally my mother and my father put together. I like gardening. Y'all figured that out? Well, growing up, my sister took care of the inside of the house. My job was taking care of the outside, the gardens and the yard. And my mother would work with me in the gardens together. And so for many years, my mother and I would work together in the gardens. And so I bonded with my mother in the gardens. And whenever I'm working in the gardens, I am the most peaceful you'll ever see me. So if you ever see me up here working in the gardens, that means I'm very relaxed. Go into my office. Go in my office and look around. You'll figure out really quickly, I'm an Ole Miss fan. I graduated from Mississippi State. I'm the only person I know in the world that's a graduate of Mississippi State that pulls for Ole Miss. You know why? It was the way I was raised. It was the way I was raised. I'm not going to go and tell you all about my life in Ole Miss growing up as a child, but I never even considered going to state. I went to a school I didn't like and made it into something I didn't care about. Whenever they played Ole Miss, when I was there, I sat on the Ole Miss side. It was the way I was raised. We have roots. And those roots affect your life, even when you're out on your own. David over in 2 Samuel 23:15 says, David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. If you don't know, Bethlehem was David's hometown. How many of you believe the water in your hometown was the best water in the world? I do. All my life, I've believed that the water in Grenada, Mississippi was the best water I have ever tasted. David is feeling that here right now. He's remembering his hometown. He's remembering growing up. He's remembering the well outside Bethlehem. He remembers how good that water was. He remembers his roots. In Genesis 50 and 5, my father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return. Look at this. Here it is talking about Joseph taking Jacob and burying him. And he says, Jacob, make sure you're going to bury me, not here in Egypt, but back in Canaan. He's going to go back where his roots were. I don't know where I'm going to be when I die, but I know where I'm going to be when I'm buried. I'm going to be buried in Grenada, Mississippi. I've been in Texas 16 years. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be buried in Texas. You know, we had a gospel meeting not long ago with Russ Bowman. I don't think Russ would mind me telling you this story. He didn't get married in Texas. But before he got married, he took a jar of soil out and sprinkled it where he was going to be standing. And his wife said, what are you doing? And he says, I may not be able to get married in Texas, but I'm standing on Texas soil when I get married. That's a true story. His roots are in Texas. You have roots where you were raised. Roots where you grow up. And you always remember that place. Even though it changes, your roots are there. Psalms 137, verses 1 through 6, speaking about the children of Israel who were over in Babylon. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. You know, there's no Fanchers living in Grenada now. We've all moved from there. That's where my roots were. And after we moved my mother out of there, we got all the furniture out of the house, and we're trying to sell the house. I had a gospel meeting in Mississippi one time, and so I was going to go by and check on the house and make sure everything was all right inside it. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever been inside the house I grew up. And it was empty. I want to share with something I've never told anybody. As I was walking through the house, I was flooded with memories. Absolutely flooded. There were so many memories in that house. And now it was empty. And I sat down and wept for about 30 minutes. I was so overcome. Where your roots are. Where your roots are is always going to be a part of you till you're dead. Jacob wanted to be buried at home. That's where his roots were. However, there comes a time when you grow wings and fly away. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Moving is a very stressful thing. Right now, Philip and Carrie Nix are preparing to move. Ask them how stressful it is. Now then, Carrie, how would you feel if Philip said, we're moving, but I don't really know where we're going? Women need security. I've often wondered how Sarah felt when Abraham said, okay, we're packing up and we're going. Okay, where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, God told me he's going to show me a place. That was not easy moving. Moving is not easy. It takes a great deal of strength to leave where you're comfortable, where you know your home, and go to another place to move. And yet quite often that's exactly what happens. Where you're raised, where you grow up, where your family is, where you are a child, you grow up and all of a sudden you move away from there and you go to a place that you don't know where you're a stranger. You know, Chris Emerson's moving here in just a few weeks. You need to understand, That's not going to be easy on him and his family. Do you think they have loved ones down there in Beaumont? Do you think they're close to that congregation? I guarantee you they are. That congregation loves them and he loves them. They're bound together. It's not going to be easy, him moving here. Welcome them with open arms. Make them feel comfortable. Make them feel at home as quickly as possible. Because I promise you, it's not going to be easy. It's always difficult to leave where you're comfortable, where your home is. But Hebrews says in Hebrews 11 and 15, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Whenever you get those wings, you go, and you understand where you are now is just where you are now, and you're going to make home where you are now. Chris, Summer, make home here, where they are, where their family is. Anybody that's ever moved understands how difficult it is. But that's part of life. That's part of life. You get roots where you were raised, but wings to fly away to different parts of the world and set your roots down there. Genesis 50, going back to it, verse 14. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. The famine's past, folks. You remember the famine was going to be for 7 years. Famine's already passed. Why didn't they just stay there? Why didn't they just stay back? Why didn't everybody move back to Canaan? Because their new home was in Egypt. That's where they were settled now. And so they went back to where they were settled then. They had gotten wings from Canaan. Ruth 1, 16 through 17 is a very interesting text. It is talking about the bonds that we have in family. I've heard this verse often used at weddings. This is not talking about Ruth and her husband. This is talking about Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Now what's going on here? You want me to tell you what's happening here? Roots in family. Roots in family. To where she has been around Naomi so long because she was married to Naomi's son. And Naomi has shown kindness to her and love to her to where she is bonded deeply now with Naomi. I guarantee you there's probably nobody that ever treated Ruth like Naomi. Because they're dealing with the children of Israel, godly people here. She was a Moabite woman. You need to study the culture of Moab. It was vulgar. It was wicked. Now she's been in the presence of Naomi, who loved her, and she doesn't want to leave her. How many of you parents would love for your children to fly next door? Grow wings and fly not 100 yards from here. Yeah. Yeah, why is that? Because we're family. And we love each other. And we want to be around each other till death parts us. In Proverbs 31, 27 to 28, she looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. This is talking about a mother who works hard, cooking, for her family, taking care of her family's needs, seeing to it that they are clothed. How many of you men are convinced your mother was the best cook you ever knew? My wife just says, if you want cornbread, go home. It was just cooking the way that she cooked that nobody else I've ever met could. She sewed the clothes for all of my family. My sisters, all their clothes they ever wore were sewed by my mother. Until they went out on their own. My roots were in my mother and father and my family. You cannot imagine how close we were. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. My father was my hero. Behind Jesus and Archie Manning. That was back in the 9th grade. But behind Jesus, my hero was my father. I know I am what I am because of him. We have roots in family. When you have a family that is the way the Lord wants it to be, to where the mother loves the children, takes care of the children. The father works hard to provide for the children. Sometimes we don't know what our parents really did for us until we leave, until we are actually out there on our own. Let me ask you, those of you that have children, did your perspective of your parents change the first time you changed a diaper? Huh? Or the first time you stayed up all night with your child when they were sick. And you began to understand what your mother and what your father did for you. And you appreciate them from a whole different perspective because now you're experiencing what they did for you. And you finally understand how much you were really loved. It is normal and natural to have roots in family. But you need to understand, we're expected to have wings from family. In Genesis 2:24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. Here we're dealing with leaving and cleaving. Whenever you get married, it is now your family, your husband, your wife. It doesn't mean you don't have roots back there. It doesn't mean you don't love your mother and your father. But now your focus and your attention is on where you are now in your family. And listen, your father-in-law and your mother-in-law are not supposed to be running your family. It's your family, husband and wife together. Listen to their advice, raise your kids your way. Listen to their advice given to you out of love, but understand, you leave. You leave. You're no longer under the oversight of your parents. You leave. And then you cleave. And start your family. In Genesis 24, verse 58, then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. You get married sometimes, like I say, you would love for your children sometimes to just live 100 yards away. But that's not necessarily always the case. Sometimes they move far away. Sometimes they move to other countries. Sometimes they move so far away you don't see them very often. And that hurts. That hurts. I used to go home to Grenada. Every time I got a day off or a week off, my vacations were home. And every time I looked in the rearview mirror, I saw my father crying as I drove away. That's where my roots are. That's where my roots are. But part of life is getting your wings to go with your family where your life is going to be. Joshua 24:15, one of my favorite texts from Joshua. "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods in which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." To be raised in a God-fearing family, you need to realize that is an awesome blessing. If your mother and your father were God-fearing men and women, you need to understand the awesome blessing you have experienced. I can tell you what we're wanting as parents. Every parent wants this and should want this for their child. We want you to have your own faith and go to heaven. We want you to walk and live by your own faith and ultimately be with God in heaven. Whoop, backwards, wrong way. 2 Timothy 1:5. "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also." Here again you see roots in family, but from that roots in family, you have roots of faith because you're dealing with a family of Christians. How many of you can say this about yourself to where you go back and you see your father, your grandfather, or possibly your grandmother and your mother, but you start seeing in your own family that there were people who were spiritually strong, who had a relationship with God, who served Him by faith, and you are where you are today because of their influence. You're standing on their shoulders. This is what you want. You want your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Everyone who comes from you to the Lord comes again. You want them to all live and walk by their own faith. But where that starts, it starts at home. It starts at home with the mothers and the fathers actually truly living Christian examples and trying to influence and teach their children while they are there at home. Train up a child the way he should go. We're dealing with spiritual matters now. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Over in 1 Corinthians, though, it says in chapter 3, 10 through 15, "The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." One of the most frustrating and painful things I've ever experienced in life, and every time it happens, it hurts deeply, is people that I've worked with leaving God. How many times have you seen it happen that when someone grows up, graduates, leaves home, they leave God? I've seen it too many times. That is why we must never assume knowledge and never assume faith. That is why we need to be working as a team, as a spiritual team in this congregation, with the parents, the elders, the teachers, the preachers, everybody together, to help every person here actually be taught the Word of God to where it is their faith that they are walking by, to where they understand what they believe and why they believe it, to where when they do leave this town, if they ever leave, they walk by their own faith. They serve God by their own faith. That's what this congregation wants for every young man and woman here. We would love for you to stay. I often joke that you can't die and you can't move away. You understand that as a joke, because we are all going to die. And a lot of you are going to move. But where you do go, we want you to serve God and continue to have your own relationship with God wherever you may be. In Luke 8:13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away." Again, you're dealing with roots here. See that? Spiritual roots. What we're wanting is for the roots not to be on the surface. We're wanting your spiritual roots to run deep. And the way you get spiritual roots to run deep is by preparing the soil of their heart before they ever even reach the age of understanding. You know where that's done? That's done at home primarily. And it's done in Bible classes. If you don't bring your children to Bible classes, why not? Why not? Do you want them to go to heaven? Then do everything you can to help them get there. By you teaching them at home, by you bringing them to the Bible classes, seeing to it that they're growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. And when they reach that age of understanding and they're hearing the gospel, they receive the seed of the gospel readily and quickly. And after they obey the gospel, because the soil of their heart has been prepared and worked with, their roots will run deep. And they won't fall away just because trials come in their life. And they won't fall away just because they get tempted in sin. But they will stick all the way to the close of their life, because their roots run deep. In Acts 8:4 it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. When I was young, when I went with my parents on vacation, one of the biggest mistakes my father ever made was giving me the camera and saying, you're in charge of taking the pictures for the vacation. The artist in me came out and he said, Wayne, why'd you take a whole roll of a chipmunk? And then there was a whole roll of pictures of the dandelion. And I was just fascinated by the dandelion. Have you ever seen a dandelion seed head? You know, the round ones that we used to call fairies, and poof, they can float away. I was so fascinated by the design of the dandelion seed head that I was fascinated with it, and I wanted it to stay that way. And so you know what I did? I went and got a needle, and I filled it with glue. And I very gently got it in between the seed, didn't knock any off, and I injected that seed head with glue. My thinking was, when the glue solidifies, the seeds won't be able to come out. You know what happened? I got a handful of sticky seeds. You know why? Because that's the way that God designed it. That's the way God designed it. He wanted the seed head to scatter so we could go into different places and take root in different places. I once sat down and counted all the members of this congregation that have been members since I've been preaching here. How many people do you think would be here this morning if everybody that ever worshiped with us was still here? Between 400 and 500 is the number. That's right. People die. People move. A few years ago, I felt like we were in the last chapter of Chronicles. You're probably going, what is he talking about? The last chapter of Chronicles is where David makes the fatal mistake of numbering Israel. How did God like that? He didn't like it very much when David was numbering Israel. He punished him for it. The reason I say that, you remember a few years ago when the elders thought we better buy chairs? And we made the mistake of breathing. We may need to build another building. And I made the mistake of counting how many members we have. And it was like God went, because within a year, we had 40 people move away or die. I mean, they just started going, joo. I don't want people to move away. But they do. They do. But let me tell you, that's part of the way the Lord wants it. The church in Jerusalem wanted to stay there. They were big. They were united. There were thousands of them. We want to stay there with all the apostles and everybody there. It's wonderful. But that's not the way God wanted it. He wanted it to scatter because he understood by scattering, all those Christians that were there in Jerusalem would go out preaching the gospel and the kingdom would spread. I always want everybody to stay here in Lindell. Nobody's permitted to leave. Clark, it's been an honor working with you, brother. You may not have heard his announcement this morning, but Clark's going to start working in Mineola. You don't understand. Mineola's blessed. Mineola's greatly blessed. And Lindell has been blessed since the day you walked in here. Thank you. Thank you. But I know that he will do a good work there. I hated it when Mark moved out to California. But then I hear he's leading singing. He's one of the core members of two at the center of a congregation, two men. And then they got a preacher in there and now it's booming. You need to understand, there are people that have come from Lindell all across Texas, all the way from Florida to California and in between. And the beauty of it is they were strengthened here, they were watered here, they were strengthened here and encouraged and recharged here. I had a preacher tell me yesterday he had to come here to recharge so he could go out and do the work again. People come here and recharge in this congregation. People come here and are watered in this congregation and then they scatter because they're needed elsewhere. And where they go, they strengthen, and they water, and they plant, and they help congregations and other brethren across the country, if not the world, be strengthened and edified. That's part of spiritual wings. You think about the church in Ephesus. Think about the people that were there. You ever done that? Paul, Timothy, Apollos, Aquila. Priscilla, are you kidding? Can we all just stay? No. There was more work for them to do elsewhere. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When I hear of people who have left Lindell, and I hear they're walking in truth. They're core members of another congregation. They're helping this congregation immensely. I rejoice. But when it is your physical flesh and blood, and they are out there in another part of the country worshiping God on the Lord's Day, there's no greater joy than that. To know that your children have their own faith. That they're actually flying on their own wings of faith. Philippians says in chapter 2 and 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We want you to be faithful here, and we want you to be faithful there. We want to hear that you're serving God wherever you are. Philippians again, chapter 1 and 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I told you earlier, the greatest pain is to hear that somebody that was a member of this congregation has left God. There is no greater pain than that. I would rather you die physically. The greatest joy is to hear that somebody that was a member of this congregation is remaining faithful and serving God and working in the kingdom where they are now. We'll close the sermon with this verse from Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'll tell you what the goal is for this congregation. We want everybody here this morning to have your own faith. We want everybody that's here this morning to love God. We want everybody here this morning to have your own relationship with God through Christ. We want you to walk and live by faith, but not just walk and live by faith. We want to hear that you're soaring, that you're spiritually soaring on your own wings of faith. You're serving God faithfully wherever you may be in this world. Where you live, where you grow up, which congregation you attended, you will always have roots there. Always. But those roots have been structured and built and watered and pampered for a reason. To give you wings. So when the time comes, you can go out on your own. With your own family. And your own relationship with God. And go forward in this life, in this world. And ultimately be with God in heaven. We pray for those that are graduating. Your roots are strong, and that you will soar on your wings of faith. There may be somebody here this morning that's not a member of the one body. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to openly confess your faith. Repent of your sins and be baptized into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin between yourself and God, please have the humility to deal with it. Come back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing songs.